The epistle is taken from Paul's letter to the Romans, chapter 5, verses 1 to 8. Therefore, since we are justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have obtained access to this grace in which we stand, and we boast in our hope of sharing the glory of God. And not only that, but we also boast in our sufferings, knowing that suffering produces endurance, endurance produces character, and character produces hope. And hope does not disappoint us, because God's love has been poured out into our hearts through the Holy Spirit that has been given to us. For while we were still weak, at the right time, Christ died for the ungodly. Indeed, rarely will anyone die for a righteous person, though perhaps for a good person someone might actually dare to die. But God proves his love for us, in that while we were sinners, Christ died for us. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Hear the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Matthew. Glory to you, O Lord. Jesus went through all the towns and villages, teaching in their synagogues, proclaiming the good news of the kingdom and healing every disease and illness. When he saw the crowds, he had compassion on them, because they were harassed and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. Then he said to his disciples, "The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into his harvest field." Jesus called his 12 disciples to him and gave them authority to drive out impure spirits and to heal every disease and illness. These are the names of the 12 apostles. First, Simon, who's called Peter, and his brother Andrew. James, son of Zebedee, and his brother John. Philip and Bartholomew. Thomas and Matthew the tax collector. James, son of Alphaeus, and Thaddeus. Simon the Zealot, and Judas Iscariot, who betrayed him. These 12 Jesus sent out with the following instructions. Do not go among the Gentiles or enter any town of the Samaritans. Go rather to the lost sheep of Israel. As you go, proclaim this message: the kingdom of heaven has come near. Heal those who are ill, raise the dead, cleanse those who have leprosy, drive out demons. Freely you have received, freely give. This is the gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ.
When I went to Oak Hill College in 1961, the set book for the year was Romans. And of course that was a key book, as far as Martin Luther was concerned, because it was the means by which he rediscovered that his salvation in Jesus Christ was by faith alone, not by works. And chapters 1 to 4 of Romans are the foundation for Paul's declaration in chapter 5, verse 1. And in chapter 5, verse 1, he says, "Therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ." We've been justified, he says, by faith. We've made just as if I'd never sinned. That's what the word justified can be brought down to. I've been made just as if I'd never sinned. We're regarded as sinless through the Lord Jesus Christ. That's our status before God. God regards us as sinless. It is a status, it's not a fact. We know that we are not sinless, but because of what Jesus did upon the cross, and he died for us, he took our place, God laid on him the iniquity of us all. Therefore, he says, We have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. We are justified, made just as if I'd never sinned. And in chapter 3, in this particular book, Paul establishes this basic truth that we're all guilty before God. Chapter 3, verse 23 says, all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. In verse 10 of chapter 3, he says, there is no one righteous, no, not one. But now we are regarded as justified. Therefore, we've been justified by faith, just as if I'd never sinned. We have peace with God. Now, when I was asked to preach on this passage, I was a little concerned. Why? Well, because in the Buckingham Parish Church, we hear this gospel truth very regularly, and that's wonderful. The good news of the gospel is clearly and regularly proclaimed here in this church. Praise God. Now, the problem is that because we hear it so often, sometimes we fail to hear it. It becomes so familiar, its impact is lost. You know, if you go on holiday and you go to a hotel and you're put in a nice big hotel room, bedroom, which looks out over the sea and over the promenade, it's on the main street, it's on the main road, the main promenade, and cars are going past it all night, and for the first two nights you don't sleep a wink because of the noise of the traffic. But after a few days, you don't hear it at all. Because you've got so used to the noise, so you've got so used to the traffic, you've heard it so often that after a little while you don't hear it at all. It's still there, but you don't hear it. And it's the same with the good news of Jesus Christ, that our sins are forgiven, that we've been made right with God through faith in Christ. It's a wonderful truth. We hear it in this church so often. And sometimes I'm afraid that we may hear it that often that we don't particularly hear it at all. I once remember going to preach at on Bible Sunday at Skipton Parish Church, the gateway to the Dales, they call it, a lovely, lovely town. And at the top of the main street is the massive church, very old church. And I went to preach and knew the vicar, and I preached on Bible Sunday, and I preached the good news of Jesus. I preached the gospel. I preached that we can be justified by faith alone. And at the end of the service, this lady came up to me, and I knew she was a regular member of the church. And she said to me, you know, she said, I've never heard that before. And I said to her, well, you know, I think you have. Because I knew the vicar, and I knew this lady had been a member of the church for some time. She'd probably heard that message so many times before. And yet she'd heard it so often, it had never really twigged what it was all about. But that morning, in the grace of God, she realised that she was justified by faith alone in Jesus Christ. That morning, the Holy Spirit spoke to her heart in a fresh way. Probably she realised that God loved her and had died for her. He wanted a place in her heart and life. And so what I want to say is that we need to keep preaching the good news of Jesus Christ. It's a good idea, actually, at times to bring in somebody new to preach it, and with maybe a gift of the evangelist, this gift of certain people who have the ability to put the last link in the chain and when you preach the gospel. And sometimes when that happens, the light goes on, the penny drops, you begin to realize, yes, Christ has died for me, I am justified by faith. That's the work of the Holy Spirit. And when we put our trust in Christ for ourselves, it's like, as I say, switching the light on. That lady at Skipton Parish Church, she'd heard the message many times before, but God by his Spirit had spoken to her heart. And in Romans 5, 1-8, it tells us certain things take place when we trust in Christ for ourselves. First thing that happens is that we have peace with God. What is peace with God? The pursuit of peace is, in fact, a universal obsession. International peace, industrial peace, domestic peace, personal peace. More fundamental of all than all these, of course, is the peace of God, or peace with God. You see, we have a sin problem. It separates us from God. God is holy, and our sin creates this barrier between us and God. If you have a row with somebody, there's this barrier between you, until somebody says sorry or you both say sorry, that barrier remains. Once you've said sorry, that barrier is taken away. You feel at one, you relax with one another. And with us and God, there is a barrier. It's not created by God, isn't this barrier? It's created by us, by our wrongdoing, in thought and in word and in deed. And if we want peace with God, we need to say sorry to God. We need to confess to him our wrongdoing. And God is in Christ then forgiving us. He forgives us. God does something about it. Paul describes this in his letter to the Corinthians as we are reconciled. If you've got two people at loggerheads and you come together and you are reconciled, you're brought together because whatever it was that was separating you, then that has been removed. And with God and us, it's our sin that's caused this barrier, and Christ comes and takes that barrier away and we are reconciled, it says in 1 Corinthians. We are justified. We're made just as if I'd never sinned. We have peace with God. We've sinned against God, but God forgives us because he loves us. We've contributed nothing but a contrite heart. We've repented of our sin. We've changed direction. We've turned from darkness to light, from the power of Satan unto God. We've done an about turn. The result is we have peace with God. He removes that barrier that separates us. Secondly, we are standing in grace, it says in verse 2. It says in verse 2, well, it's verse 1, it says, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have gained access by faith in this grace in which we stand. We are standing in the grace of God. Grace normally refers to God's free gift, his unmerited favour towards us that we are forgiven, but we don't deserve it. It's his undeserved love, his unsolicited love, his unconditional love that he gives to us. And here in verse 2, he puts it a little differently, does Paul. He says, we have gained access into this grace. It's by grace we have been saved through faith, not of works. It's a gift of God, lest any man should boast. He says, we can't earn it, we don't deserve it. But John Stott tells us that in chapter 5, verse 2, the better translation would be the use of the word introduction into God's grace. We need introducing into God's grace. We are unfit to enter of our own into heaven, into the presence of God. We need it. What we need is someone else to bring us in. And so it is Jesus who brings us into the presence of God. He takes us in and he says to God the Father, forgive them because of what I've done for them upon the cross. They've been introduced to the grace of God. And secondly, we have taken our stand in or on this grace into which we've been introduced. Our relationship with God is grounded in the justification that Christ has brought us into. It's not sporadic, it's continuous. It's a continuous thing. It's not precarious, it's secure. We don't fall in and out of the grace of God. We're not like courtiers who may find themselves in and out of favour with their sovereign. We stand in that grace. We are secure in the grace of God because he's giving it to us of his own free will. And as St. Paul writes in Romans 8, verses 38 and 39, nothing can separate us from God's love. And thirdly, we rejoice in our sufferings. Chapter 5, verses 3 to 8. We rejoice in our sufferings. He says, but we also rejoice in our sufferings because we know that suffering produces perseverance. Perseverance, character. Character produces hope, and hope does not disappoint us because God has poured out his love into our hearts by the Holy Spirit whom he has given us. What sufferings has Paul got in mind here? He's not thinking of our earthly sufferings, our aches and pains, and our fears and frustrations, and our disappointments, our normal everyday living. He's not thinking of that. He's thinking of the pressure of Christian living, the opposition and the persecution of a hostile world, that which we can expect in these last days between Christ's first coming and second coming. Jesus warned his disciples that in this world they would have trouble. And Paul warns his converts in Acts 14 that they must go through many hardships. And so what should our attitude be to these tribulations? Well, it's not a matter of simply enduring them, he says, or putting up with them stoically with fortitude, but rejoicing in them. Wow, that's different, isn't it? Rejoicing in them. Paul is not talking about masochism, in other words, finding pleasure in pain. In other words, it's not like hitting your thumb and shouting, "Praise the Lord!" Or going to the dentist for an extraction and thinking that you have to smile and laugh all the way through and saying, "Isn't this wonderful?" It's a matter of thinking. It's not a matter of thinking, "I've got to rejoice." There's no doubt that Jesus made it clear that we can expect suffering as the one and only path to glory. And in Romans 8:17, Paul writes, "We are co-heirs with Christ, if we indeed share in his sufferings, in order that we may also share in his glory." So when we experience persecution at work or at home, when we're mocked and laughed at maybe, or slandered, thought odd and peculiar, compromised, and in many countries imprisoned and beaten, and even losing your one's life, Paul says, we are then sharing in Christ's suffering. We are co-heirs with Christ. And in the end, suffering leads to glory and to maturity. Suffering can be productive if we respond positively. Respond not with anger and bitterness. That's not what he's meaning. God's people in every generation have known suffering. Suffering produces perseverance or endurance. It produces stickability. And in turn, it produces character. The person who's been tested and passed the test becomes a mature character. And we realise that God, who is developing our character in the present, can be relied on for the future too. And verse 5 tells us, hope does not disappoint us. It never will. It will never betray us by proving to be an illusion. It's not a fantasy. How do we know that? Well, because God's steadfast love will never let us down. His love will never give us up. And then you read verses 6 to 8. He says, you see, at just the right time, when we were still powerless, Christ died for the ungodly. Very rarely will anyone dare to die for a righteous man, though for a good man someone might possibly dare to die. But God demonstrates his own love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. He didn't wait for us to get any better. He didn't think, when they've improved their behaviour, I'll die for them. He came to us as we are, warts and all. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. And he wants to say to us, you're justified. You're made just as if I'd never sinned. Praise God.